Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we present a previously recorded episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank's guest is Dr. Casey Luskin, Associate Director of Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture and author of Lessons Learned and Not Learned from the Evangelical Debate Over Adam and Eve in the upcoming issue of the Christian Research Journal. Here now is Hank Hanegraaff.
And welcome to another edition of the Hank Unplugged podcast. We are committed to bringing the most interesting, informative, and inspirational people to your earbuds. And today, I'm delighted to talk about a subject that I think is axiomatic for people to grapple with in their own minds. The question that I want to broach at the beginning of this podcast, although we'll get into many other things as well, is the question of whether or not Adam and Eve really existed. You may wonder whether this is really a relevant question, but it most certainly is because this is under sometimes even friendly fire. There are a growing number of Christian thinkers who respond to that question by saying, no, Adam and Eve did not really exist. Francis Collins, who is the founder of BioLogos, a foundation that he founded many years ago, is among them. In his view, science dictates that modern human beings emerged from primates about 100,000 years ago in a population numbering not two, but some 10,000. Not only so, but according to BioLogos and their experts, people like biblical expert Peter Enns, the Bible itself invites a symbolic reading of the account of the first man and woman. While Collins and company staunchly defend neo-Darwinian evolution, their views hardly correspond to reality. Darwin hung his hopes on hundreds of thousands of transitional forms leading to the fossils of the Cambrian explosion. But in actuality, the poverty of the fossil record has been nothing short of embarrassing. Virtually all known body plans appear abruptly in the Cambrian. Let me put it bluntly. The Cambrian radiation vaporized the Darwinian tree of life. Scripture, I would say, plainly opposes the collective rhetoric of theistic evolutionists who deny the reality of a historical Adam and Eve. I think immediately of St. Paul, who said, from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth. Not only so, but had the first Adam not fallen into a life of perpetual sin terminated by death, there would have been no need for God to send a second Adam, for God to send our Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, in this regard, St. Paul is emphatic. He says, well, since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. And then, maybe I should have said this first, our Savior's words cast a pall on all Adam and Eve deniers. The words are emphatic. At the beginning, the Creator made them male and female, said our Lord. And lest one be tempted to allegorize the words of our Savior, it is instructive to note that Jesus further affirmed a historical Adam and Eve when I refer to the murder of their son Abel. And not only that, but Luke, who is writing primarily to a Gentile audience, extends his genealogy past Abraham to the first Adam. And in that, he highlights Christ, the second Adam, as the Savior of all humanity. And if that's insufficient, think Chronicles, which provides a historical record from Adam to the exile. And likewise, starting in Genesis 5:1, of course, Moses gives the written account of Adam's line. One thing we can be absolutely certain of, though Genesis is a historical narrative, though it is interlaced with Jewish poetry, it cannot merely be reduced to allegory. On today's podcast, I want to discuss this very thing, the debate on the historical Adam and Eve. We'll certainly go beyond that, but this is where I want to start. Because there are theologians, I think of the very famous Scott McKnight, for example, who has gone so far as to say that if someone believes in a historical Adam and Eve, it's evidence that they're still addicted to geocentrism. Now, that's quite a slur. To discuss all of this and more on today's podcast, we're featuring the very interesting, informative, and inspirational Casey Luskin, who is a man of enormous credentials. He's a scientist. He's an attorney. He has graduate degrees in science and law, and he has expertise in both the scientific and legal dimensions of the debate over evolution. He holds a PhD in geology from the University of Johannesburg, a great place to live, by the way. My mother's sister lives there. He earned a law degree from the University of San Diego. And in his role at the Discovery Institute, Dr. Luskin works as an associate director for the Center for Science and Culture. He is a prolific author and is co-editor of the Comprehensive Guide to Science and Faith, exploring the ultimate questions about life in the cosmos. He has written many articles for the Christian Research Journal, for which we are deeply grateful, including a forthcoming article titled Lessons Learned and Not Learned from the Evangelical Debate Over Adam and Eve. I am delighted, Dr. Luskin, to have you on Hank Unplugged.
It's great to be with you, Hank, and I'm glad that we're both feeling better from our illnesses and we're well enough to do this today.
Yeah, you went through COVID at the same time that I was going through a cold, and I don't know which was more difficult.
Yeah, it sounds like we both got hit pretty hard. I'm still recovering from the fatigue and the brain fog, but I'm glad. Sounds like we're going to survive these, though, so that's good.
Yeah, well, if you have one metaphorical arm tied behind your brain, you're going to be ahead of all of us.
Well, you're too kind. I'm not feeling that way these days, so.
Well, trust me, I'm delighted to speak with you and so indebted for your great work, particularly with respect to the work you've done for the Christian Research Institute and our flagship magazine. But what about this debate over Adam and Eve? There are evangelical elites, celebrity scientists like Francis Collins, who contend that modern human beings originated from a population that numbered somewhere in the vicinity of 10,000. Now, why is it that we are so quickly abandoning the historical Adam and Eve? I mean, there are magazines like Christianity Today that jumped on this with full force and want to underscore this as though it's settled science. Now, this seems like we're buying high and selling low.
Yeah, I think you've described the situation very well. It's important to give a little bit of historical context here so that I think our listeners understand what has gone on over the last 10 years. I'm sure many of your listeners have been paying attention to this, but it's important to sort of understand what's happened. This whole debate started, I date the beginning of this debate to June 2011, when Christianity Today published a cover story titled The Search for the Historical Adam and Eve. And the article's title sounds like it's, you know, looking for evidence that supports Adam and Eve. But I would say the title was misleading because the real purpose of the article was really not to search for a historical Adam and Eve, but to highlight evangelical thinkers, as you said, elite evangelicals, who basically fully accept modern evolutionary biology and reject traditional doctrines that there was a historical Adam and Eve, that Adam and Eve were real people who actually lived. And we can talk about what's in the article if you want. But this then sort of kicked off a debate that's taken place in the evangelical community. Did Adam and Eve really live? Were they real historical people? With some leading evangelical scientists, as you said, Francis Collins, and especially folks who are affiliated with a group that he co-founded, the BioLogos Foundation. I wrote an article for Christian Research Journal on BioLogos a number of years back, sort of describing who they are and what they believe. They're basically an organization that is promoting theistic evolution, or as they sometimes call it, evolutionary creationism, which is the idea that an evolutionary viewpoint is fully correct and also fully compatible, in fact, with Christianity. Except they, over the years, have frequently denied that you can reconcile belief with a historical Adam and Eve, much less a traditional Adam and Eve, with evolution.
Stay right there. We'll be back soon to rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with Dr. Casey Luskin. Science and Christianity are often presented as contradictory opposites, when in fact, the fine-tuning and order of the universe and the specified complexity of life powerfully testify to intelligent design. With the Comprehensive Guide to Science and Faith, you'll witness how the latest findings of scientists provide compelling reasons to acknowledge the mind and presence of a creator. To receive your copy of The Comprehensive Guide to Science and Faith, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org. Why did the authorities need Judas to identify Jesus? How could the people who cheered Jesus on Palm Sunday call for his death just a few days later? Why was Pontius Pilate trying hard to avoid sending Jesus to his death? Is there evidence outside the Bible that these events actually happened? In the documentary film on DVD, The Week That Changed the World, Professor of Ancient History Paul Meyer offers compelling answers to questions concerning the events of Holy Week that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. Dr. Meyer lays out the hard, verifiable facts of history and archaeology. Receive your copy of The Week That Changed the World on DVD as our thanks for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. equip.org. The evolutionary naturalist Richard Dawkins famously wrote that biology is the study of complicated things that give the appearance of having been designed for a purpose. Dawkins has spent a career trying to show that purposeful design in living things is really just an illusion. But is it? Could it be that our intuition of design in nature is correct after all, and we can know that it is? Yes, and you'll see why in the Comprehensive Guide to Science and Faith. To receive your copy of the Comprehensive Guide to Science and Faith, a rigorous and thorough defense of intelligent design, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Well, here once again are Hank Hanegraaff and his guest, Dr. Casey Luskin, as they continue their conversation.
The BioLogos Foundation, over the years, have frequently denied that you can reconcile belief with a historical Adam and Eve, much less a traditional Adam and Eve, with evolution. They've said you cannot reconcile that, and they've pushed evangelicals to try to reject belief in a historical Adam and Eve. And so this debate then continued. There was an NPR story that featured some BioLogos people that were challenging. And these are evangelicals. These are people who, you know, believe in many of the same things that we do, theologically and doctrinally speaking, as Christians. But they deny what Christians have believed for the past 2,000 years, historically, for the most part, about Adam and Eve. And I think that it's important for people to understand that this debate has been taking place and what the evidence really says, because thankfully, a lot of the science that they cited to claim that Adam and Eve didn't exist has turned out to be wrong.
Yeah, talk about those monikers that you just mentioned. What about theistic evolution? I've often referred to that as a contradiction in terms. If you want to believe in evolution, that's fine, but don't blame God for it.
Yeah, I mean, theistic evolution is the idea that God used evolution to create life, okay? Now, when someone says to me that they're a theistic evolutionist, Hank, the first things I ask that person is, well, what do you mean by theistic and what do you mean by evolution? Okay, so most people who say, yeah, I'm a theistic evolutionist, I believe God created life using evolution, usually what they mean is they believe in some kind of a form of guided evolution, where God was guiding the evolutionary process, actively involved with it, to somehow create life. Maybe they believe that humans share a common ancestor with apes. I personally am a skeptic of that view for many scientific reasons. But, you know, they at least believe that God was involved, perhaps in even a detectable way, in the process where God was maybe causing mutations to happen and at various points stepping in and actively intervening in the history of life. Well, what a lot of people who hold a theistic evolution view like that don't appreciate is that they are actually proponents of intelligent design. They actually think that there is active intervention from an intelligent agent that can be detected in the history of life. I want to make this really clear. Theistic evolutionists, like the folks at BioLogos, absolutely reject that version of theistic evolution where God is actively intervening in a detectable and sort of meaningful way in the history of life. What they typically will say is they would believe what I would call something more like theistic Darwinism, where the history of life appears to be an unguided and undirected process that was sort of random and undirected. In fact, in his book, The Language of God, Francis Collins, who again was one of the founders of BioLogos, he says that the history of life would appear to us, this is almost a direct quote, would appear to us to be a random and undirected process. But yet he believes that God was somehow guiding this random and unguided process that appeared unguided and random, that sort of God was guiding it such that it appeared unguided, all right? So that is sort of the version of evolution that I understand most folks who are affiliated with BioLogos to believe. They do believe God was over the process, but if we were to have watched it, it would have appeared as if it unfolded through strictly unguided natural mechanisms. So my initial response to someone who believes in that is, well, if the scientific evidence doesn't support an apparently unguided history of life on Earth, why do we have to waste time trying to figure out if we can reconcile that kind of a view with Christian theology? I mean, obviously, there's some tensions there. If you're claiming that God guided this process such that it seems unguided, Romans 1:20 says that God is clearly seen in what has been made. But the BioLogos folks have been very clear that under their version of the history of life, it's not easy to see how God was involved. And I think there's a serious tension there with Christian theology. But you know, whether they can reconcile their version of evolution with Orthodox Christian theology, if their version of evolution is scientifically false, then we don't need to waste time trying to, you know, go through these mental contortions to reconcile how God could have guided an unguided process, okay? So that's the way I view this. And I think that there are many scientific and theological problems with sort of the standard BioLogos version of theistic evolution. But even if, you know, all that aside, the science does not support their view. And that's where I would be starting from.
What about the moniker evolutionary creationism?
Yeah, so it's very funny. In the article that I wrote years ago, I noted that in his book, The Language of God, Francis Collins said, and I'm trying to find this quote here, he said that theistic evolution is a bad term to describe their view. But he said that whatever terminology they come up with to describe their view, he said, we dare not use the word creation because it would cause confusion. But yet that's exactly what the new theistic evolutionists are trying to do. They want to call themselves evolutionary creationists. And look, if they want to call themselves evolutionary creationists, they can do that. And I try to recognize that that's a term that they like to use. But I actually have to agree with Francis Collins here that when they call themselves evolutionary creationists, it's creating a lot of confusion because they're not creationists in the traditional sense where you believe that God sort of actively intervened in the history of life. They believe that there was an evolutionary process that wasn't a guided evolutionary process in a meaningful sense. They believe that it was an evolutionary process that would have appeared unguided had we been there to watch it. And so they call themselves evolutionary creationists, but I don't think that's a very good term. I think it's actually a bit euphemistic, and it has potential for great confusion in what they actually believe.
Yeah, so it seems to me that Francis Collins has the weight of evidence on his side, and you do not, because Francis Collins argues that human genetic diversity can't be explained by an original Adam and Eve. At least that was his position. You're saying it can be.
Yeah, that's right. And it wasn't just Francis Collins that was saying this. There have been quite a few folks from the theistic evolution camp, scientists, and a number of prominent evangelical theologians that they sort of convinced to adopt their view, who said that the human species was never as small as two people. In fact, a white paper from BioLogos, this is what it said. It said, the human population was definitely never as small as two. Our species diverged as a population. The data are absolutely clear on that. And they claim that basically human genetic diversity is so great that we can never have been reduced to just an individual pair of two individuals. We had to have evolved from a population of thousands of individuals, and that is the only way to account for our modern-day human genetic diversity. We could not have come from an initial pair. So, and you mentioned Scott McKnight, Hank, and how he said that if you believe in Adam and Eve, that's like denying that the Earth goes around the sun. That comes from a book that Scott McKnight co-wrote with a BioLogos then-affiliated biologist named Dennis Venema. And the book was titled Adam and the Genome. It came out in 2017. And they, in that book, as you said, they argued basically that if you don't believe that we evolved as a population, or if you do believe that we came from an initial pair of just two individuals, that's like denying that the Earth orbits the sun. And so essentially, they claimed with heliocentric certainty, is what we've called it, that Adam and Eve did not exist as a historical pair who were the progenitors of humanity. And so a number of Christians in the sciences read that and said, you know what? We're skeptical. And they actually pressed Dennis Venema on the BioLogos Foundation discussion forum to justify his claim that there's no way to account for Adam and Eve, given modern human genetic diversity. And when they went through many of the citations that Dennis Venema, as well as Scott McKnight, had cited in their book, Adam and the Genome, what they found, and eventually Venema admitted this, was that really there were no scientific studies that showed that you could not evolve, or you could not sort of allow modern human genetic diversity to arise if we came from just an initial couple. One of those scientists was an evolutionary geneticist at Queen Mary University in London named Richard Buggs. And he really pressed Dennis Venema to say, look, the papers that you cited in your book have not actually addressed, much less refuted, the existence of an initial couple like Adam and Eve on these genetic grounds.
We'll have to stop here for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To hear this Hank Unplugged podcast interview in its entirety, go to equip.org. Our firm commitment here at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand CRI's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches, Hank would like to send you a copy of the Comprehensive Guide to Science and Faith, co-edited by Casey Luskin. Call a resource consultant at 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.